Welcome to the Poison Bald and Still Standing podcast. Today I've got my good friend Laura with me. And Laura and I have a really fun story, but we're both 8-year cancer survivors. Laura had breast cancer and I had uterine cancer. So welcome back again. You've been on it twice. This is your second time.
Yeah,
you win the award.
You.
No one's been on it twice before. So tell us, you were diagnosed with what year and kind of...
Okay, well, I was diagnosed in January of 2017. I had a mastectomy in February of 2017, the very next month.
Okay, so you were in January... You were diagnosed what kind of cancer? What kind of breast cancer?
Triple negative breast cancer.
Okay. So you had a full mastectomy.
Yeah, I had a full mastectomy. And then I did chemo after, you know, I recovered from the surgery for about 6 weeks or something. And then I started chemo and I did 6 weeks and then I did another 12 weeks of several different kinds at one time. I did a clinical trial and then I did radiation. So I finished in November, right before the holidays, I finished and I've been cancer-free since.
So how often did you get chemo?
Well, let's see. The first round was every Friday for 6 weeks. And then every other week, you would get one of the strong ones with your milder one. And then the second time, it was I did it every week. And then I did the clinical trial every 3 weeks. So that went on. I got that 4 times.
So your first rounds of chemo, you did Taxol and carboplatin.
Was the second round. The first round, I did the...
The Red Devil.
The Red Devil and then the Cytoxan.
Okay.
Is what I did then.
And that was your 12 weeks?
That was it. Well, it was, I guess it was every 2 weeks for one and every week for the other. It's kind of hard to remember, but.
Okay.
But yeah, it was, and then the Taxol was 12 weeks and then the carboplatin was the first time. And then every 3 times after that, they pushed it in there.
Yeah. So that's because I always think that's interesting. That was your clinical trial.
Yeah. The carbo was.
But that was, oh, the carbo was clinical?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because that was my regimen for uterine cancer.
Yeah.
I did Carbol and Taxol one day for one Friday. And then for the next 2 Fridays, I just did Taxol. And
yeah.
Then I'd start over again with Carbo and Taxol together.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I did. Yeah.
Which I always find interesting that was a clinical trial for your breast cancer, but mm-hmm. It was my standard chemo treatment for uterine cancer.
Right. Well, they said that they had found some success in it. And I figured, you know, if you're taking all those other ones, you might as well take that one. And the doctor said it's not going to hurt you. And my insurance paid for it. And so I took it. It did make me sicker than the Taxol did. But, you know, all that's 8 years gone now.
So you find interesting. We've met a lot of people along the way. And a lot of those people aren't here anymore.
That's right.
And we had the same chemo. Mm-hmm. You had more before this regimen, but you had the same thing I did. And we're both at 8 years cancer-free.
Yeah.
Which
Adriamycin is what the Red Devil's called.
Okay.
I can't think of the name of that one. But I took Adriamycin and Cytoxan.
And they call it the Red Devil because
it's red, and they have to push it through. Yeah. They don't.
And it's rough.
Yeah, it's
rough. Your side effects and all the things.
And the Carbo. I thought the Carbo was rough, too.
Yeah, Carbo was tough. I didn't do well on the Carbo.
Yeah. And then the Taxol, you know, I got a little bit of neuropathy from that.
You still have it. Mm-hmm. You can feel it. Yeah, I do, too.
My feet. Yeah.
I do. My toes and my fingers.
Yeah.
So. Crazy.
But we're still here.
Yes, we are. We do. I want to go back a little bit to your treatment. So a lot of people with breast cancer, I found, get chemo first and then surgery and then radiation. But you actually had your surgery first before you started any of your treatments.
Correct.
Correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And that was just my doctor's call. She just wanted to go in there and get it out. And, you know, she just said that was the way that she would do it. I know a lot of people, but my little tumors were really small down in the lower half of my breast, my right breast. And some people have to shrink the bigger tumors for them to get clear margins when they do the surgery. So I think that was the difference. Mine was like a cluster of little ones. And so they just went in and got it. And I think triple negative, they might treat that a little bit different too.
Well, I think they do. I think that's a whole different
Different. Because, you know, once you have these treatments, there's no hormone blockers or anything like that. I mean, it's
not
a hormone-driven cancer. Yeah, it's a little bit trickier to
get it.
To get it, yeah.
And so you only had it in one side, but you chose to do a full mastectomy.
Oh,
I think I would be the same way.
I didn't want to have to worry about the other side. I mean, you know, I had enough biopsies anyway, because, you know, my sister had had breast cancer when she was 35 and I was in my 50s. So I got checked regularly and had a lot of biopsies before one came up that it was cancerous. So,
and did you have the genetic testing?
I did, and it was negative, and so did my sister, and all that was, so it wasn't a genetic.
And did she have the same kind of breast cancer as
no,
you?
No, actually, she had, hers were both hormone-driven, and she had it when she was 35, and then she had it, she'd only had one breast removed, because back then it was too radical, really. Mm-hmm. And then 10 years later, she got it in the other breast, a totally different kind, but hormonal type cancer. And so they took off the other breast, but she didn't have to have chemo or radiation because she found hers at stage one both times.
Both times. So she mm-hmm. didn't have any treatment.
And mine was stage two because I had it in my lymph. So therefore, I had to have the chemo and the radiation. If I wouldn't have had it in my lymph nodes, I would have just had to have the surgery and maybe some radiation.
Okay. And not, mine's kind of the same way. If mine hadn't been in my lymph nodes, and also mine was a not aggressive, but an irregular cancer cell. So that's one of the reasons. But if I would have caught it, because I was 2B,
mm-hmm.
but because of the lymph nodes, I had to have,
right,
or I would have just had to have a hysterectomy and be done with it. But I didn't have to have radiation, thankfully.
Yeah.
So how do you feel from as far as 8 years out?
I feel great. I mean, I feel good.
You don't feel like you had any side effects from the chemo or radiation?
Not really. The only thing I remember that I got a lot when I was going through chemo, and I get a lot now, is the hiccups.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got the hiccups a lot when I was going through chemo, and I used to not really get the hiccups very often. And so that's a weird thing, but that's the only thing really. I don't really have any, I mean, except for the neuropathy, you know, I guess that's a side effect of chemo, but you know, it can bother me some nights, but for the most part, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't bother me.
You don't have joint pain or anything like that?
No, no. Now I had some scar tissue when I was doing Pilates, kind of, you know, I'm a part up here
surgery.
And make me hurt up there for a while. And of course, you know, causing a concern, you know, because you're hurting in that area. But it was just from scar tissue breaking loose in there. And it just hurt for a while and it went away. So
from the surgery itself. And then you had reconstruction.
I did.
And
did
you do that at the same time?
It
all happened together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, my surgeon came in and then this plastic surgeon came in right after.
Okay.
And then I had, you know, the nipple surgery later and had the tattoos, but that was all after it was already, you know, healed up and everything. So, but yeah, I mean, I feel really good. I mean, I can tell I have implants in and I feel like I have a bra on when I don't.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, but other than that, I mean, you know, you just kind of get used to it until you start talking about it. You don't remember, but it's just something foreign in your body and.
You
I would never
it.
Choose to have implants.
Yeah, that's not your choice, obviously.
Yeah.
You'd go the other way.
Right.
So let's talk about losing your hair, because that seems to be the big topic of conversation and the hardest part about cancer treatment.
Well, they said 2 weeks, and pretty much 2 weeks to the day, it started coming out. And I have a really dear friend of mine, Neil, and he as a hairdresser and did my hair for years, and he was going to come over when it was time. And I woke up the Thursday morning, and Friday would have been the 2 weeks. And I wake up, I reach up there, and it's just coming out, you know, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, here it is. And so I just called him and said, hey, it's time. And he said, I'll come right after work. And my mom wanted to come in there, and I didn't really want her to, because it's just
traumatic.
It is. And, you know, you kind of feel like a dog getting your head shaved or something. And I didn't look at myself for several hours. And then when I first saw myself, my God, I thought, ooh.
It's shocking.
I feel like an alien or something.
You really do.
You really do.
Because we're so opposite on how it was traumatic for me, too. And it's hard. And there's nothing that can prepare you for it. And nobody will understand what it feels like until you go through it.
Right.
And I think I've always said, I think some of the trauma that comes with it, it's not so much you're losing your hair. You get it. It's going to grow back. It's shocking to see yourself bald. No one should have to go bald as an adult. But I think the hardest part is that it's kind of the realization that you've got poison racing through your veins, which is why your hair is falling out by the handful.
Right.
But I looked at it so differently than that with you. Like, you did it just you in the bathroom with your hairdresser or with Neil.
Right.
You didn't even want your mom coming in there.
No.
I have a full-blown head shaving party at a house full of people because I knew it was going to be hard. And yeah. I thought, well, I'm just going to make it fun and lighthearted and try to ease that crazy feeling that it is. And so I had 14 girls in my class.
Goodness, yeah.
As they watched me get my head shaved, which I wouldn't do it any other way, I don't think. I think if I had to do it all over again, I'd do the same way because they actually were so supportive of it when it was happening because you're just so overwhelmed. And that's the shocking part, I think, that they say it starts falling out at 2 weeks after your first treatment. Yes. It doesn't really just start falling out. It's coming out by the handfuls.
Yeah.
And my story is the same as yours. Like on a Thursday morning, I woke up at my 2 week mark and my hair, you reach up and it's by the handful.
Oh, yeah.
And it's shocking and it's...
Well, I think the way you did it's good, though, because really it's, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal once I got used to it. You know, once a few people, I used to, at the beginning, I wouldn't let anybody see me without something on my head. And then there at the end, I was like,
yeah,
who cares? You know, I mean, it was, you know, you wanted to be comfortable and, you know, and I would wear my wig to work for a while. And I even had a name for her. Her name was Midge. And then it got to where I just wear little head wraps because the wig was so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just got to where you did what was comfortable, not what. People probably had a harder time looking at me than I had going there looking like that.
Well, and I think that's a lot of it, too, is that when you see somebody bald as an adult woman, you immediately go, oh, no, I bet she has cancer.
Yes.
And so it's the outside appearance of what you're feeling on the inside. So everybody knows what you're going through.
Yeah.
I mean, I still see women today that, you know, at the grocery store or something, I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, I know.
She must be in the middle of treatment.
Well, one of the guys that I work with, we had those phones in our offices that, you know, you could see each other.
Oh, yeah.
And he called me one day and I had on a head wrap. And he goes, why do you have that on your head? And I said, well, because I have cancer. Well, he had to hang up.
Oh, yeah.
He was so upset. And then a week later, I got flowers. He was just like another guy that worked in one of our, you know, in Midland office. And I had lost my husband, you know, a few years before that. And he went through that with me. And so then when he found out that I had cancer, then he was just like, but I thought that was really sweet.
It is.
And he sent me flowers and I just thought that was a cool thing, but it does upset other people.
It does.
When
it's
they
hard.
See somebody.
Yeah, people, especially people that know you,
because
they know what you're about to go through or what you're in the middle of. And it's, you wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy because it's
heavens,
the worst thing ever.
No.
Well, I didn't, I would wear my wig every day as well because I didn't want my clients knowing, scared for them to know because I didn't want them freaking out thinking, oh no, what are we going to do? And so I wore my wig every day to work, too. But boy, when I got in my car at the end of the day, that sucker came off and was in the back seat and rode home in the back seat.
Mine did, too. I'd look around in the parking garage. I'd sling that thing off.
Yep.
And the funny story is the only time I put it back on was one time. Well, actually, I had it on and I took it off. That's the story. I got pulled over speeding.
So you threw it on before he got there?
I took it off.
Oh, took it off. Did it work?
Yes, it did.
Did it? You got a warning?
Yeah.
Did he say something about it?
Oh, he didn't say anything, but, you know, the bald head said it all.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's pretty clever.
Because I started to put it back on and because I was getting pulled over. And then I thought, I just pulled it back off. So
that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a sympathy that comes with that.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, and I thought, well, might as well use it good for something.
Take
me out of a $100-something ticket,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, exactly. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I struggled with it for a long time. And then towards the end, I couldn't take it anymore. So once the chemo was over and I had peach fuzz, that's the crazy thing about chemo. Mm-hmm. If you skip a week because your blood counts are too low, your hair starts trying to grow back in.
Exactly.
So you get this little peach fuzz. And so when I finished, I immediately had peach fuzz and I started just going out without anything on because I was just tired of it.
Yeah.
I remember being in the grocery store and there was a young, I don't know how old the child was. It was a young child talking, but not too old.
Right.
I was behind them and she was in the grocery cart with her mom. And then I was behind them and she looked at me and she goes,
Mama, who is that?
And her mom turned around, looked at me. She goes, well, honey, I don't know who that is. And I thought, I'm scaring the children in the grocery store. I should probably stop doing this because people look at, it is kind of scary because it just looks so foreign to people.
People do look at you because I did the same thing. I mean, my hair got a little bit longer than peach fuzz before, but one day I was getting ready to go into a fair of the heart down at the fairgrounds and I had my little wrap on and everything. And I thought, you know what? I'm taking that off. It's hot and it was uncomfortable, and I just went in without it. And then from then on, I was just...
Yeah, once you do it one time, then you feel free.
Yeah, because those weights are not comfortable.
No, they're not. They're hot and they're itchy.
And the head wraps are okay, but they're still hot.
I didn't ever wear a head wrap. I either had a wig or bald.
Yeah, I had them all wrapped up, turbaned on my head, and wore big earrings.
And everybody kept trying to get me to wear earrings, and I thought I looked like a complete freak show. So I did not wear big earrings, but I loved seeing when I volunteered out there and seeing women bald, and they'd come in with beautiful makeup on and bald and these big earrings. Really, those were the people I gravitated towards because I was so impressed with their courage to do that. I never could.
Yeah.
I wore it from the day one.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the God Bless You Girl story.
Okay.
Everybody wants to hear it.
Okay.
So, trying to decide the best way to tell it. I think I'm going to tell it from my perspective first, and then we can talk through it.
Okay, so that sounds good.
I had a head shaving party on August 24th. So that would have been Thursday. It would have been my third chemo treatment was on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was my first day to wear a wig, my first day to be bald. I was number three out of 18 rounds of chemo. And I woke up that Friday after having a really fun night with my friends, but then all your friends leave and it's just you and your bald head. alone. And I remember going into the bathroom and looking at it and then just, you know, like you just being overwhelmed by it. And then they all leave. And I just stood in the kitchen thinking, okay, well, here's the reality. It kind of sets in.
Right.
And so the next morning I wake up to go get chemo. And I always had like a 10:30 appointment is usually when my chemo was. And a friend always took me. I never drove by myself because I always felt really woozy afterwards with all the pre-meds and stuff they give you. And so having a really bad morning, like just not myself that day, just mad at the world, mad that I had cancer, mad that I was bald, mad that I felt horrible from chemo. And so waiting on my friend to get there, she comes and gets me. I get in the car. We're about halfway out there. And she said, "You're having a bad day?" And I'm like, "Yep," because I wasn't talking. I just was really not doing well. I was gaining weight every week because of the steroids and all the stuff.
Yeah.
So they always weigh you when you get there. They take your blood pressure and put you on the cattle scale, which they wheel you on there.
Yeah, exactly.
With the big digital in the front of everybody and that can see how much you weigh. And I gained more weight. And so they take me back to my chair. And if you've never been to a cancer center, for those that have never been, it's a big room of just little cubes that you are sitting in. And I think the big room out there had 65, 68 seats in it, little cubes that you sat in. So they had rows of eight, four cubes on one side, four on the other. They took me to the very last row, which there was only four cubes. And they took me all the way to the end by the window. And the only person on that row beside me was a woman who was having her last chemo treatment. And you can always tell if it's her first chemo treatment, if you've been out there for any length of time, or the last one, because the first one, there's always a bunch of family. The last one, there's always a bunch of family. Plus, there's flowers and there's balloons and there's food. And it's a big party.
Singing.
Yeah, it's a big party because it's your last chemo treatment. So I was not happy that they took me back and sat me beside a woman going on her last chemo treatment. And so, of course, throughout the couple of hours, she wasn't there the whole time. You have the volunteers are coming over and taking pictures. The nurses all come over and take a picture. And it's a big party. And I was not having any of it. I was mad about all of it. I was having the worst day. And so I didn't, you know, a lot of times you talk over the wall because there's a half wall between the patients. And so you talk to the patient next to you. A lot of patients have become really good friends. And I did not communicate with that person, but my friend that was with me did. Mm-hmm. We found out that she had breast cancer and that she was with her sister and her mother. And so as the morning progressed and all the people kept coming over and taking pictures, I had a realization that I was also going to hear the bell ring. Because that's what you also do on your last chemo treatment. You go downstairs and you ring the bell and everybody cheers. So before that happened, all the nurses were coming over and singing. I don't remember the song.
They sing like a goodbye song.
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
So that was happening. And at this point, I was just ignoring all of that, just trying to shut it all out because I just didn't want any part of it. The daunting thing to me was I had 15 more to go.
Right.
Really 16 counting that one.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It was a lot. And I just was struggling with all of it. So she finishes her chemo. I'm already going to cry. And so she finishes and gets up to leave and walks all the way down to the end of the aisle. Do you remember any of this?
I do.
Okay. Walks all the way to the end of the aisle. So she had to go from her second to the last cube on one end to the very end of the aisle. And when she got down there, she turned around and she came back and she stood in the, why am I crying? It's been 8 years. She stood in my cube and said, God bless you. And she turned around and left. And my friend, I could hear my friend behind me saying, don't start crying. Don't start crying. Of course, I was crying. She was crying and the nurse was crying. Mm-hmm. I think everybody just could pick up on my, where I was. And obviously,
I picked up on it.
Yeah.
I could tell you were sad over there. And it is hard to watch people leave when you've got so much ahead of you and somebody's done. And
yeah, it's trouble.
It's difficult. It's a mind game to get there every time.
Yeah. So she leaves. And I talked about it forever, about the God bless you girl. And mm-hmm. I named this person the God bless you girl. I told everybody the story because in my mind was in her really happy day because it's your last day and that's a countdown that you look forward to. And I counted it down, 18 more, 17 more, 16 more. That took the time to come back and actually sense that I was having a hard time and said that to me. And I told everybody about it. And I named this girl the God bless you girl and referred to her that way for a year. It was over a year.
Mm-hmm.
So a year later, I start volunteering out there because that's the next step for a lot of people.
It is.
You feel like you want to give back because you got so much out of it. And I loved the volunteers when I was going through it.
I did too.
Yeah. And so I went from 10 in the morning, my volunteer time, they didn't really even have room for me because they already had 2 volunteers in the morning and 2 in the afternoon. But they worked me in. So I kind of overlapped the morning people and the afternoon people. So I would get there at 10 and then I would leave at 2. And then the afternoon crew would show up at noon and leave 3 mm-hmm. to 4. And so a girl named Laura was in the afternoon crew. And we just started talking, I think, because I was always wearing jewelry.
Right. And I'm a jewelry nut.
And so we started talking about our jewelry and how much we loved it. And I was selling jewelry at the time, sterling silver jewelry. And so you wanted to have a party.
Yeah.
And so we started talking about a party and I think we met for dinner.
I think we did.
And then found out that her husband had died of pancreatic cancer 5 years before that.
In 2014. So 3 years.
Was it 3?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I asked her if she would come on this podcast to talk about her breast cancer. Oh, and also found out that she had breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so she came on the podcast and editing that podcast, we talked about when your last chemo treatment was.
Right.
And it was my 3rd chemo treatment.
Correct.
And I don't know what you said in that, but something was said that made mm-hmm. me think, if you haven't figured it out already, Laura is the God bless you girl. So, I did not want to cry through this. A year later, we randomly meet volunteering out there. And then as I do the podcast with her, I realize that it's the God bless you girl because of something that you said in the podcast.
I said something. And then you started questioning me about it. And I said, well, I've got pictures of it because you asked me if I remembered what I had on. And I said, yeah, I had on a red and gray striped shirt. And I said, I have pictures. And so I showed you the pictures and you could see you sitting over in the background on the pictures that we took that day.
And that was it. We went to dinner. So I figured it out while I was editing it, but I didn't. I still don't know what you said that triggered me. And then we had gone to dinner to talk about your jewelry party.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Laura, when was your last chemo treatment?
Right.
And you told me the date. And then I said, where did you sit?
Mm-hmm.
And you said the second to the last cube on the last row.
Right.
And then I told you the story and you're like, I have pictures.
Yeah.
And then you can see me looking out the window as she's getting pictures taken with the volunteers and the.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a crazy story.
It's a small world, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that we met up again at, volunteering and everything.
A year later.
And, I just thought I was trying to encourage somebody. I didn't.
It did encourage me. That was the craziest thing. And it was obviously something that I needed and something that impacted me. And it's just like on your worst day, which I think now that I know you and we've become really good friends and we're 8 years down the road, it's who you are as a person. And it's not shocking that you would do that because that's who you are. But at the time, I didn't know you. I didn't know anything about you. And so the fact that you did that, and I think even the nurse, which I'm not going to remember her name, she's who I work with now when I deliver the snacks that I do. She was our nurse that day. I've even asked her when I go out there to deliver snacks if she remembers that. And she did.
Really?
Because it was just impactful, I think, that you had one person that was obviously struggling. I was just having a horrible day. And then you being done, and although I say you were done, you weren't done. You still had to go through radiation.
Right.
But to me, you were done because you're ringing the bell, which is kind of the final.
Well, I was done with the chemo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a long ride.
Yeah. And then you had to go through how many treatments of
6 weeks.
Okay.
5 days a week for 6 weeks.
So the ironic thing is we actually finished in November.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the date?
It was just like the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I think, was my last treatment.
But yeah, so I was out there on the 28th. So it's just funny that you didn't even know the whole
you
were there and the God bless you thing and stuff. Here I was jealous that you were done, but you really weren't done. And we finished at the very same time.
Right.
And then ironically, a year later, we both started volunteering. Do you know when you started volunteering?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
No, I don't remember.
I started in January.
I think I started right after the holidays because I think I went and took my little test that you have to have and stuff. And yeah, I think it was at some time. I think you might have been there before I was.
Oh, really?
Because
I started like the first week of January, a year after I finished
in
November.
Yeah, because I remember, maybe you did start after me. I just don't really remember. I mean, I wasn't out of there for very long before I started. It was probably close to the same time.
But a year later?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember I did all the stuff in December, and they said, why don't you just start after the first of the year?
Yeah.
So it was sometime in January.
Yeah. I think I might have started a little bit before you, but.
And then I don't remember like the timing of when we started talking about jewelry, but it was pretty quick.
Oh, yeah, because you had all your jewelry on and I asked you about it and you were telling me about it.
And then I was having a party in my house.
Yeah, you were having a party and I went to your party and then I had a book party up at work.
Yeah.
And we just became friends.
It's so crazy, though.
Several years later, we're going to New York together to the
U.S. Open.
U.S. Open. And
lifetime
friends. Just from having cancer.
And it's funny because as I volunteered out there, I saw women become good friends that had chemo. You know, I feel like most people pick a date and that's the date they have it throughout the time frame, that's your date.
Right.
And mine was a Friday. Yours was a Friday. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Friday was good for me with my job, with owning my business.
That's
kind of
the way it was with me. It was the least because I got off at noon on Fridays anyway. So,
yeah.
And I always started pretty early in the mornings on Fridays. And
so you'd go out there to get that done. So I did see a lot of friendships develop.
Oh, yeah.
Ours was weird in the fact that we didn't develop a friendship from chemo.
I know.
It was
volunteering.
But yet it was because of chemo.
Right.
And that day.
Yeah, because we both wouldn't have been volunteering there if we hadn't had treatment there. I mean, that's just something everybody wants to give back because the volunteers out there are so good to you. And,
they are. They
and,
really
you know,
help.
We had Judy and Harley and, and then they were still volunteering when I was volunteering and just sweet people.
Yeah. And that's kind of why I picked Friday because that was a good day for me with my company. And then I did it because they were there on Fridays because I kind of wanted to be in that whole Friday thing.
Yeah.
And they were such great volunteers.
Gosh, yeah, they were awesome.
And it's sad to think that they're both not here in Yonker.
Exactly.
Which is awful.
It's sad.
Yeah.
We saw a lot of people in our time of volunteering there that didn't make it.
No. And then we both stopped volunteering with COVID because they canceled all the volunteer program at that point. And then we just both didn't.
I was done.
I was too.
Yeah.
And I think it's great therapy and it's something that it's helpful to go through after you feel like you've recovered enough. Because it does help you think of that place in a different aspect than when you go for treatment because you do kind of react. I have my follow-up in June and I'm already having, heart palpitations.
Yeah.
Yearly follow-up.
Exactly.
So it does help with that process. But after a while, the sadness and the, you know, all of that comes along with it is kind of hard, and you kind of get past it.
You're kind of geared up for it for a while, and then after you're just kind of like, okay, it's somebody else's turn.
You
come through here, and you know they always have volunteers up there, so I think it's just kind of the cycle that everybody, not everybody does, but a lot of do.
Yeah. And so with that, do you have to follow up? Do you have to do follow up appointments anymore?
No, actually, over a year ago, I guess, my oncologist cut me loose, and I didn't like it, but she said, we're not getting a divorce. She said, we're just, you know, if you need me, you can call me. But now she's retired. Anyway, but no, I haven't had to follow up for a couple of years now.
And how does that make you feel?
You know, I mean, at first I was really nervous about it, but, you know, now I just kind of try not to think about it and just live, you know, because you can't, you know, you don't want to live in fear of it coming back all the time. And so I just kind of, you know, every once in a while something hurts or, you know, you always have that thing where you think, oh gosh, you know, what's going on now? But anyway, but most of the time I don't worry about it really.
And do you pay attention to the dates? Like, I really pay attention to, like, this is my 8-year anniversary, end of chemo. You don't really do that?
No, I know what year it is, but I don't ever celebrate that. Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
But, you know, everybody's different, you know. You know, everybody does things different, and I just, you know, I know it's been 8 years, you know, I know what year it was, and, you know, and I'm just thankful that it's been 8 years and I'm still here to talk.
Right.
So,
yeah, very grateful for that. You know, but I pay attention to all the dates. Today is my biopsy. 8 years ago, I had the biopsy. 8 years ago, I had surgery. Like, those are, I think, because they always said to me, 2 years, that's your first step is 2 years.
Yeah.
And then your next step is 5 years. And so I was always looking forward to that next anniversary, because that meant it's, you know, that much of a percentage gone on the chances of it coming back. And so I think they did that to me to some degree, because they always talked about that.
Right. Well, they always told me 5 years online,
oh,
5 years, and you're pretty good.
Yeah.
Lots of time. I mean, you know, there's always exceptions to the rule, but, you know, but with mine, it was, you know, triple negative. And so, you know, there wasn't anything else that I could do, you know, because once you have radiation in that area, you can't have it again. And
oh, you can't. Mm-mm. I didn't know that.
It'd burn you if your cancer came back in the same area.
Oh, okay. It'd
burn a hole in you, probably.
Really? Because it's already just the tissues.
Yeah.
Damage from
and you know, there was a lot of the nurses out there at the cancer treatment that said they wouldn't do radiation.
Oh, I've heard that a lot from people in that medical field.
Yeah, they always say that. But you know, my doctor said that it was really a must with me and my kind of cancer, that having the radiation was just something that needed to be done. And with the clinical trial, I had to have it done. You know, they kind of set your whatever.
Your guidelines for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had planned on taking it anyway, because they had told me I needed it and I was going to take whatever I needed at the time.
Survive.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't have to have radiation. I was grateful.
Yes.
I know it's rough.
Yeah. It's just tiresome. And then, you know, it just pretty much burns you basically.
Right.
And I know there's a lot worse cancers than breast cancer to have radiation, because a lot of people have side effects if they have colon cancer or something, you know, and they're going through radiation and stuff. You know, it was just every day you went in there and, you know, it didn't take very long to get it done, but you'd still have to drive over there, get undressed, get on the table, get dressed, drive back home. And
every week.
And that was every day.
Oh, every day.
Every day, 5 days a week.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
for six
a lot.
Weeks. Yeah.
Especially after what you'd already been through with chemo.
When you've gone through chemo. Yeah,
it was
a lot, but, you know, you just do it. You know, you just kind of put one foot in front of the other. And
so you, through the process, you sort of do. You just pull up your bootstraps.
Yeah,
and
you just do whatever you have to do.
Because
before that, I was going in for my chemo. I was going in every week to get shots to keep my counts up, to be able to have my chemo. So,
yeah, it's funny.
There's just a lot involved in all of that, more so than just going to get chemo.
Yeah, I always joked about it. That it's a full-time job to have cancer, because you're out there every day for one reason or another.
Yeah.
You're back out there. And it's something that you don't get a break from for however long you're in that. And which I laugh about, because you're during that treatment time, you literally are there every day for some reason or another. It's constant.
Yeah.
And then you finish your last treatment and you're just done.
Yeah, I know. It's weird,
isn't
it?
We'll see you in 3 months. And you're like, well, wait a minute. Who's going to take my blood pressure tomorrow? And who's going to weigh me? It's scary because you've relied on them every day. You know that you've got medical people right there. And then they go, we'll see you in 3 months at your next appointment. And you're like, well, wait a minute. What am I supposed to do for 3 months? Where am I going? It is scary.
It is very scary.
Well, that's our time, but I wanted to really get you back on here. We had to tell the God bless you story because like my family only knows you. Like if I say Laura, they have no idea who I'm talking about. I have to refer to you as a God bless you girl.
Well, I just saw you were struggling and wanted to go over there and check on you because it is hard. And when you're just getting started, I mean, I didn't really know where you were at, but I knew you were having a hard time.
Yeah.
Other times are hard times for people. I mean, like I said, it's a mental game.
Yeah, it is.
To get yourself in there and get you in the chair and get started on it.
And get through the process.
And then you have somebody sitting across you that's almost done.
Partying.
It would be hard.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't fun. And it was, I said, they shouldn't put you by somebody that's finished. Well, they don't know. They're just assigning you by what chair is available and what nurse is available. And they're not going, oh, well, that's bad because this is her third treatment. That's her last treatment. That won't work.
Yeah, they can't do all of that.
No. So I get all that. But God bless you, girl.
Yeah.
Got it. Thanks for coming on.
Sure.